special folks in the area that we don't get to know, we don't get to meet until they come in for camp meeting. And such is the case, family out of Brother Eddie Hebner's church that is here for the camp meeting this year. And Brother Billy said they didn't have any place for next Sunday night. And I said, well, I like Brother Eddie Hebner. Amen. He's always a blessing to us. And we always enjoy having folks stop by to visit. So they're going to be with us next Sunday night. And they sing. Amen. So we're looking for a good time in the Lord. And, you know, the folks that missed the evening services are just going to miss a great special blessing. Josh, you want to sing, buddy? I see your hand up. All right, come on. Chapter number 14, Proverbs chapter number 14 tonight. We'll be no longer than the Lord would have us to keep you, but just a message of God has just, he's just bore this on my heart, and I've just I chewed on it and stewed on it. I had to work all night Friday night, and I sit and sometimes just following equipment and waiting on something to break down. And as we was following, we just had this on our thought all night long and all day yesterday. And I tell you, I'm tired. I haven't caught up. Old man just can't do this anymore. And yesterday, it was just every time I thought I was going to get a nap, something happened. But y'all pray for this old body. Amen. The Bible tells me it's corruptible. It's decaying. It's wearing out. Amen. And I can attest to the truth of the Word of God. Amen. So y'all just remember me in prayer and just pray that God would just use this message tonight to stir our hearts and just to remind us of where we are. In Proverbs chapter number 14, verse number 34, if you'd stand tonight with us, if you're able, as we reverence and honor the reading of God's Word, the Bible gives this profound thought in verse number 34. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Brother Jim, would you take us to the throne of grace tonight, please? Amen. You may be seated. God, through the writer of the book of Proverbs, and Solomon is accredited with writing many of the Proverbs, and some of the Proverbs that he had pinned down were Proverbs that he had taken from other places. But I believe that this verse right here that we're looking at is directly from God through Solomon unto us. And it is meant for all people of all times and in every generation and in every situation. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And I got the thinking on this, and God got the dealing with my heart about this, and he brought this thought. This is the weekend that we celebrate the birthday of our nation. I'm proud to be an American. Amen. I'm glad. I'm thankful for America and what America has stood for and what America has accomplished. I'm ashamed of what America is becoming. How can you say amen to that? Amen. America, once a nation that was founded on the principles of God's Word, has begun to turn her back and to slap God in the face and to say, no, we don't want you. We no longer want your Word. When the men challenged the authority that kept them in bondage as colonists, in bondage and under servitude unto a king, they rose up and they were willing to sacrifice and willing to jeopardize everything that they had. Do you realize that the men who met in Philadelphia in the Continental Congress of America were some of the wealthiest men in this country? They were some of the wealthiest men in America, and they were willing to put everything, their fortunes, their families, and their fame, and their name upon the establishment of a country, one nation under God, of a country, one nation where all men are created equal, of a country, a place where individual rights will not supersede the right of the common good of the people, a nation that would base its principles upon the writings of the precious Word of God. And even though these men gathered weren't all Christians, Thomas Paine, the writer of the Age of Enlightenment, Enlightenment. I was an atheist. Benjamin Franklin. I was a whoremonger and a womanizing alcoholic. And he just led an immoral life. But it was he himself who stood up in the midst of the calamity of the Congress as tempers and personalities were colliding and said, we need to begin these proceedings with prayer. Because the witness of God's people and his righteousness upon his people bore testament even to a heathen that God could work miracles. And they were needing, and they were looking for, and they were desiring a miracle in birthing a nation. And America was birthed, and America become mighty. And by the end of the 1800s, by the end of that century, America had taken its place of prominence among all the nations of the world. And America began to be a place to be reckoned with. America has challenged its relationship with God on several occasions. And in the 1870s, and for a 10-year period from 1870 to 1880, the Supreme Court, under the guise of one of these challenges, had ordered a deep, in-depth study of our founding documents and the founding fathers and the people who pinned their names to that Declaration of Independence, to the ones who had framed and formed our Constitution on which we stand and on which the courts and the laws of this country stand. And after 10 years of an exhausted search and survey and study, the Supreme Court of the United States ruled that America is indeed a Christian nation. And I don't care what Barack Hussein Obama or any other politician says, America is a Christian nation. And I don't care if the Muslims like it. I don't care if the heathens like it. I don't care if the atheists like it. America is a Christian nation. Amen. It will always, as long as there is a righteous seed within this country, proclaim itself as a Christian nation. Though its leaders may fail us, though the people and the world might look down upon us, America is a Christian nation, based on the Christian principles of the Word of God. I love America. I served my nation. I'm a Vietnam era veteran. I enlisted before the end of hostilities in Vietnam. 2 years before the end of hostilities. As a matter of fact, just a few weeks after I enlisted, Israel invaded Lebanon, and they were fear of a great war breaking out in the Middle East. There's always been turmoil. There's always been a time when people have had to stand with their country and for their country and with our allies. We have churches now that are challenging. Did you know the United Church of God this past week voted to quit supporting any company or not to do business with any company that supports Israel? Did you know that? The United Church of God. Amen? Maybe they have forgot. But God said, I will bless them that bless thee. I will curse them that curse thee. Amen. Israel is our ally. Israel is our strongest ally in the Middle East. And America has forgot what God's promise to those who stand with Israel is. Israel is the apple of God's eye. There's nothing more important on the face of this earth right now than what's going on in that little strip of land that's about 30 miles wide, 75 miles long, that's called the nation of Israel. It is the apple of God's eye. It has always been and always will be. To his son is restored to the throne of David and seated in this world in the millennial reign, and his people come unto him. Israel is the apple of God's eyes, but America is turning her back on America, on America's greatest ally there in the Middle East. We're looking at so many things that are happening. I'm glad, though, that I am still an American. I'm glad that I've been privileged to be born here. I'm glad that I've grown up here in the Reagan. Some people didn't like the Reaganomics, but let me explain something to you that people forget about Reaganomics. This isn't politics. This is just fact. Amen. The greatest 30-year period of prosperity that this country has ever known come during the 30 years of Reaganomics. Amen. The lowest unemployment, the lowest inflation, the greatest opportunities to succeed and get ahead. When I was growing up and I was coming along in the 50s and the 60s and the early 70s, I remember every few years there was a great recession. Amen. You go for about 4 or 5 years, then you would have a great recession. You'd go for a few more years and you'd have a big recession. Nobody lived in McMansions. Now, let me just explain this to you. If you don't believe what I'm telling you, young people, ride around and look at the developments that were built in this area in the 1960s, the 1970s, and the early 1980s. You know what you'll find in these developments? You'll find 1,000 to 1,500 foot ranch style homes. Am I lying? That's what they are. You don't find McMansions. Now you ride around and you look at developments that were built from the 1980s and until the early part of the century. And what do you see? You see these big giant houses built everywhere. A symbol of a nation's prosperity. A symbol of a nation's wealth. A symbol of a nation's abilities. Ronald Reagan, and again, this isn't political, it's just a statement that he made. Said when a nation, or when America ceases to be one nation under God, it will be one nation going under. Amen. What I want to preach to you about tonight, that's just an introduction. I promise I'll try not to be any longer than what God would have me to be. I want to preach to you tonight, what's wrong with America? What's wrong? If I ask you tonight what's wrong with America, you could give me a multitude of things that's wrong with America. Amen? But let me tell you what's wrong with America according to the Word of God. Amen? Verse 34, righteousness exalteth a nation. Righteousness has been confused, and that's what's wrong with America today. Amen. We no longer preach righteousness. We no longer preach living holy. We no longer preach living right because we have confused righteousness with our politics. We have confused righteousness with our socioeconomic stature and our problems and our issues. We have confused righteousness for so many other things. People say, well, we need to preach about democracy and the rights of the vote. Let me tell you something. The ideal of democracy is nothing new. The Greek was a democratic society and it failed. Amen. The Greek culture, I'm talking about the old Greek culture, amen, was a system that was built upon democracy, the right of one man to one vote, the right of every man to have his say. And Greece fell. The Greek Empire no longer existed the way that it once did, and no longer could tout its knowledge, its prosperity, and everything it had because democracy had failed. But in America today, we still claim, well, it's democracy, it's democracy, it's democracy that has built this nation up and has made it great. Let me tell you something. It's righteousness that exalteth the nation. Amen. For those who don't know it, America is not a democracy. How many knew that? You get an A. Sister Mary is the only one that knew it. America is not a democracy. You didn't know that? America is a democratic republic. Do you know what the difference is? Do you know what a republic is? A republic is a government that's built on a foundation of its laws. There have been governments that stood as republics. The Roman government was a republic. It was Roman law that ruled supreme. The Persian government was the Persian and Mede government in Persia in the time of Esther. It was a republic that dwelt and dealt upon the rule of law. And the rule of law was above all. And once the law had been decreed, it couldn't be turned back. But guess what? Persia and Rome have failed. America is a nation of laws. We are a democratic republic. We vote upon the people who will make the laws and establish the rule of the land. Amen. It's not a democracy, and it's not simply a republic. It's a democratic republic. Go do a history lesson, and you'll find out that what I'm telling you is the truth. Am I right, Sister Mary? Amen. I'm glad you come on up here, Seth, because you can just shake your head and let everybody know that I'm preaching right. Amen. Amen. But let me tell you something. Our laws do not make us right in the sight of God. It's still the Word of God, and still thus saith the Word of God. It's still the righteousness of God that exalteth a nation. There have been theocracies that have developed, and we have theocracies supposedly that are in existence in the world today. Islam is supposedly a theocracy, a theocratic government where it is ruled by God, and God has the final word. The problem is there are too many pseudo theocracies in this world. The only theocracy that ever worked, the only theocracy that ever prospered and its people flourished under, was when God led his people out of Egypt, and God was their head, and they had no king, and God was their rule, and God fought their battles. God supplied their need. God set the commandments and the rules and the rights for living. We look back through history and we can see the theocracy of the Egyptians. You know that the Pharaoh was supposedly a god. And Egypt has failed. We see the Romans and we see that Caesar was supposedly a god. And though they were a republic, their republic was supposedly led by the Caesar who was a god. And we can see that their empire, their republic, it failed. We see the Babylonians. We see all the ones who had their own gods, and their own kings were supposedly gods. Look at the Mayans. Amen. Their king was a god. Look at the Incas. Their king was a god. It didn't do anything to declare righteousness. It lifted up individuals. It lifted up a false sense of security. It lifted up everything else in this world. How we see Stalin, how we see Lenin, how we see Nietzsche, and all these who proclaimed communism. Amen. And they stood upon the tenets of communism, and communism will produce a perfect nation. What happened to Russia? What has happened to China? What has happened to all these communist nations? They have fallen one by one because it's still righteousness that exalteth the nation. Amen. You still go to communist China, but they're living under the capitalist. Amen. And they're living under the capitalist ideology now in China. You go to communist Russia. Amen. You know why Russia has prospered and has begun to flourish? Because they're no longer living under the tenets of communism. They're now living under the ideology of capitalism. And people are venturing their businesses. They're venturing everything they have to uprise and to strengthen themselves. We look at socialism. It's supposed to be the cure for all of the world's ills. America is pushing and is touting socialism. And socialism never does anything but open a pathway under communism. It's just communism under a more gentle and more warm and fuzzy name. And we look where socialism has been tried. We look where socialism has been the norm and has been experimented with. And we can see that it don't work. Europe today has turned into a socialist empire, a socialist group. Every country in Europe almost practices socialism, and they're failing. In case you have forgot, in case history has slipped your mind, the Nazi party was a socialist party. It has failed. The fascist party that ruled in Spain, that ruled in Italy, and that touted itself as the answer to mankind's problems, it has failed. Socialism in America will fail because righteousness exalteth a nation. And we can look to everything else. And we can seek everything. We say, well, the problem is we just haven't given enough money. We haven't taken enough money from the people who are working and giving it to the people who won't work. And that's right, I said won't work. Amen? Let me tell you something. I get so tired of hearing, well, I can't make it on that much money. Well, you know what? I couldn't either. So you know what? I had two of them jobs so I could make it. Amen? I had two of them jobs to make ends meet. I had two of them jobs, and I laid out in the snow. I worked in the rain. I worked in the cold. I done everything I could on the side when I wasn't working on one of them jobs, whatever it took to make ends meet. I get so sick and tired of hearing, well, I can't find a job. Well, you're not going to get a job being the executive vice president of a company right off. Amen. You're going to have to work your way up. McDonald's and Burger King was never intended to be a life choice for employment. It was intended to be a place for teenagers to work and to get experience so that when you go to apply for a good job, amen, you got a history of being faithful to a workplace. You got a history of doing it. But our socialist mindset and our civil liberties and our desire to make everything right for everybody says we got to just change the way we do things. We got to change our mindset, and everything's just going to get better and better and better. We just need more money. We've poured billions and billions of dollars into social programs, and the social experiment has failed because righteousness still exalts a nation. Amen. All the greenbacks in the world are never going to get people's hearts right. Amen. You can give all the money in the world to the church, and it ain't going to make a difference if the righteousness of God isn't prevailing. Amen. Amongst God's people. Over in Peter, we is reading when the Bible says, "Be ye holy, for the God that saved you is holy." And he commanded, "Be ye holy, for I'm holy." Amen. You know, the problem with America today is we confused righteousness with all these things instead of seeing that we are flawed individuals, we are a flawed race, and we fail God continually. The Bible said over in Isaiah chapter 64, verses 5 and 6, "Thou meetest him that rejoiceth and worketh righteousness." Praise God. I'm glad he still meets with his people. Amen. I'm glad he still stops by and encourages our heart. He said, "Those that remember thee in thy ways, behold, thou art wroth, for we have sinned in those is a continuance, and we shall be saved, but we are all as unclean, an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away." Let me tell you something. America is a democratic republic, modeled after a theocratic ideology, touting its civil liberties and good intentioned people. As it moves closer to socialism and full-scale communism in the name of righteousness, and it's never going to work. Righteousness outside of God's righteousness will never be anything but a bunch of filthy rags. Amen. That's what's wrong with America. Amen. See, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Let me tell you something. Anybody that's had a child that's become a prodigal, a child that's turned their heart away from God, understands where my heart is in preaching this. I love America. I love America. But America has some problems. You're never going to straighten a kid out that's living in sin by telling them how great they are and how wonderful they are. They need to hear the truth. America needs to wake up. It's righteousness that exalteth the nation. We've confused righteousness with everything else. But on top of that, he said, "But sin is a reproach to any people." There was a time when sin was kept hidden in the dark, when our sins were kept secret, when our sins were our business, and we prayed and hoped that nobody found out about our sins. And now we get on the internet and praise God, we just blast everything that we're doing and every ungodly act that's taking place. It just amazes me that how many people come to church here and tell me how much they love Jesus, and I see them on the social media, the social network somewhere, doing all kinds of ungodliness. Amen. We have confused sin with a whole lot of things. We've confused sin. Listen, just some things I wrote down. We murder innocent children at a rate that exceeds 1 million per year under the name of abortion. And we call it choice. We fail to execute those who create and who commit the heinous crimes in our nation and say it's morally unjust to do so. I said, well, it's against God's word. No, it's not. God's word says take the evil out from amongst you so it doesn't pollute my people. Amen. God never excused the murderer. He said he would save the murderer. But God never excused the murderer. We just recently seen in the city of Baltimore where we allow thugs to burn and pillage a city. And we say that that's all right. They just need the time to express themselves. As firefighters are fighting to put out fires, they're coming behind them and slashing the fire hoses of the houses where their neighbors and their families live. And we say it's all right. It's all right. They're just expressing themselves. In the light of what just happened a week or so ago in South Carolina, we tout the symbols of racism, the symbols that people are so proud of, and we call it heritage, and we excuse it when God said there's no excuse for it. Amen? Now, I understand something. I'm a white man. I'm a white man. Sister Connie, I'm going to use you as an example. Sister Connie is a black lady, an African-American lady. You know, we're going to have some differences about us. But let me tell you what. When we bleed, we all bleed the same color. When we sin in the eyes of God, it's all the same color. And when we got saved, she didn't get saved by a black Jesus and me get saved by a white Jesus. We got saved by the same Jesus and we were birthed into the same family. Amen. We confuse these things with sin. We confuse these things with the righteousness of God. Hey, we're confused as a nation. We're confused as a people because we want to look to everything but our own problems. Amen. And the truth in our own lives. Oh, look at that bunch over there. They're down there burning and pillaging the city. It's horrible. That's just sinful. That's just evil. Oh, look at that bunch over there. They're committing these hate crimes. Sin is sin. Amen. Sin is sin. And there's no excuse for sin. We say that our court system just said that the individual has the right to choose the course of life that is going to make them happy. They say, in other words, that it's all right to do whatever you want to live however you want to be whatever you want to, as long as you're happy. It doesn't matter what your Creator created you as. And we're to accept it. And we're to be happy with it. Now let me tell you something. I will not, I do not, and I will never tolerate bigotry toward any homosexual that ever walks in the doors of this church. Do you hear me? Do you hear what I'm saying? I'm so tired of the bigoted bunch that stands in pulpits and says, God said he would turn them over to a reprobate mind. No, God said he would turn all those sinners that refused him, all those that rejected him, over to a reprobate mind. They walk in this door, we'll love them and pray for them and care for them. Yes. Amen. It's not one bit of difference between them and the adulterer. But we'll forgive the adulterer. There's not one bit of difference between them and the drunkard, but we'll forgive the drunkard. Amen. There's not one bit of difference between them and that little lie that you told. Sin is sin in the eyes of God. Or that sin that you committed that nobody else knows about. Sin is sin in the eyes of God. And praise God, let me tell you what. A sin is a reproach to any people. I don't care if it's a lie, if it's homosexuality, if it's racism, whatever it might be. Sin is a reproach to God's people. Amen. Amen. And America has forgot what sin is all about. We make excuses for it. We make excuses for it. And you can find somebody to back up anything you want to. Hey man, I got a fella at work. He said he'll argue just for the sake of arguing. And let me tell you what, Maxfield. Amen. And I guarantee you, if you're not firm, if you're not strong, if you don't really know what you're talking about, you better not get into a conversation with him if you're right, wrong, or indifferent. Amen. Oh, that God would save him and call him to preach. Amen. I'm telling you. I'm telling you. There's people who can argue for anything. They say, well, science proves global warming. Well, there's just many scientists that say that global warming's a farce. That do, but it doesn't fuel what the powers that be want to, and the image that they want to project now. So we lie about it and say it's all right. We mask it and we say it's all right. We condemn righteousness in the name of political correctness. And we say it's all right. We remove the symbols of God that have been instrumental in the forming of our government and the writing of our Constitution by a court that's supposed to uphold the Constitution. And we say it's all right. You see, what's wrong with America is we become confused about what sin really is. We become confused that sin is a malignant spiritual disease that separates individuals from a sovereign God that has nothing but your best interest at heart, has nothing but your greatest desire and your greatest design to be brought close to him in a right relationship. What's wrong with America is we're confused about what righteousness is. We're confused about what sin is. Earlier in Isaiah chapter 5, the prophet penned these words, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil." Isn't that what we're dealing with in America today? Isn't that what we're seeing? That put darkness for light and light for darkness. We're taking away the Ten Commandments and we're giving them secular humanism. And we're telling them it's all right. It's going to solve their problems. They put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes, but prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness from the righteous from him. Therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be rottenness and their blossom shall go up as the dust because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. Therefore is the anger of the Lord kindled against his people, and he has stretched forth his hand against them and has smitten them, and the hills did tremble, and their carcasses were torn in the midst of the streets. For all this his anger is not turned away. But listen, oh, the sweetest part of this whole passage of Scripture. But his hand is stretched out still. What's wrong with America is we're confused about what righteousness is. What's wrong with America is we're confused about what sin is. What's wrong with America is that God's hand is stretched out still. And there's still hope for America. But America is running farther and farther away from the God that can restore it to the greatness that it once knew. And running further and further to the Prince of Darkness, whose desire is to destroy this once great nation. Proverbs 14:12, "There's a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." The problem with America is America wants to follow its own ways and its own design. America wants to do what's right in its own sight. America wants to call evil good and good evil. America has forgot that all our righteousness, all those things that we feel are so good about us, are but filthy rags apart from the righteousness of God. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Folks, tonight as we stand to our feet, our heads are bowed,